Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We are live at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook today celebrating the men's NCAA tournament and the women's tournament obviously going on as well. But today the games for the men start in earnest after the first four were played earlier this week. Badgers play this afternoon, and we are asking you this morning, how are you going to handle work and basketball? You got two screens, you're taking the day off, you go into a spot like Chew and his wife to enjoy basketball all day long. What is your plan for attacking the day? And joining us now is Jason Wilde. Jason, will you be watching the Badgers game this afternoon?
Yes. Hey, let's get this going here. You've got Kevin Harlan on. Let's keep this short, huh?
Not until 8:30 this morning, so we got plenty of time.
Okay. All right.
So, Jason, you'll be watching the Badgers. Are you one of these guys who you'll go to an establishment, you'll sit in the living room, you'll... Because you'll have wrapped
the
show.
Yeah, I don't leave my house.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, when so your no, children I'll, have activities.
That's true, but they'll be at school. So I will have, there's a couple of different TVs downstairs in our basement, so I'll probably have two different games on. But this is, the first 2 days are my favorite days of the tournament. I mean, obviously, Championship Monday is a huge deal and the Final Four and everything else, but I just love it when there's this many games going on. And these are my two favorite days by far of the tournament, so I'm going to enjoy as much of it as I can before tomorrow when we have to go to Stevens Point for a track meet.
Jason, some of the rule changes are out. Do you see any of them passing?
Well, I don't, like, first of all, I don't see the push-push being banned. I see this, and I think we've talked about this before, that, you know, Mark Murphy, always the trial balloon guy, falling on this grenade by, being the team that puts this forth. I'm sure there are more teams than the Packers that think the push-push should be banned. Whether or not it's enough to get it actually deleted from the rule book, I'm not sure about that. And I can't imagine the NFL wants to upend their entire structure of their league with division winners by making it so wild card teams can have a higher seed if they didn't win their division. So those two for sure I don't see, in my opinion.
But doesn't that one make sense, Jason? That one just, to me, it makes sense. Because then you could have a 9-8 team getting a home game while a 13-4 team gets stiffed.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't happen that frequently, and I understand where you're coming from, but there's a lot of inherently unfair things about the schedule, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's not as, there's the rotation system, there's the matching up of divisions. Like, let's be honest, if the Packers didn't play the AFC South last year, what would their record have been? Right? Like, that was one of the worst divisions in the league. They swept it. They got swept in their own division, if not for Carl Brooks's finger. Like, I just think that, you play who you play, and you're in the division you're in. And, yeah, this was an instance where, they had, 14-3 and 13-4 in the NFC North, or 15-2, 14-3, whatever it was. I get it, but I think that's more often an outlier than not. I remember there was a time, and by the way, go win the game, right? Like, Seattle, I think, I don't know how many years ago this was, that they won the division. It was before it went to 17 games, so I think they were 7-9. And they did have a home game, and they did win. So if you're that good, here would be my argument. If you're that good of a team that you feel like you got hosed by not having a home game, then go to that place and win if you're that good. And obviously that didn't happen that year.
2011?
Sounds about right. Jason, I guess if that one doesn't pass, I don't think any of these are going to pass because the Lions, you know, throwing out there, hey, shouldn't be an automatic first down with illegal contact or defensive holding. Again, they led the league with defensive holding last year. I can't imagine that passes. I don't think the league wants to make regular season games longer. The proposal from the Eagles where everybody gets a possession guaranteed in the overtime, so that's more closely aligned with what you see in the postseason. I guess I just don't see any of these passing then. If you think that there's no chance for the playoff seeding thing to get passed, I thought that had a better chance than most of the other rule change proposals that are out there.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one that I thought had the best chance, and that's what Chewy's arguing there, I guess it's that one. But again, I just don't think the NFL... I think what the NFL likes is rivalries and the importance of winning your division. And again, the vagaries of the schedule. I mean, if you don't get to play, and look, Houston, I know Houston won a playoff game, but I didn't think they were that impressive last year. And clearly they didn't either, because they've been one of the busiest teams in the league during these first 2 weeks of the league year. So I'm curious to see what the Packers season looks like in 2025. Because I would argue that the matchups of the divisions are much harder this time around than they were last year. And so,
well, and that was part of the intrigue, right, Jason? Because the Lions obviously won the division. If this rule were in place, this would have benefited the Vikings. You think the Lions are sitting here going, man, we're playing in one of the toughest divisions in the league. There might be a year where we don't win it, and we don't want to be penalized for not winning the division but also having, you know, a 14-win season.
Yeah, I don't know if the powers that be want to upend the apple cart. Help me out with this, Gabe, since you're an NBA play-by-play man. The divisions don't matter anymore in the NBA, right?
No. Yeah, I mean, if you win your division, you get in. But I mean, especially now with 10 teams basically getting in with the play-in. I mean, yeah, I could not tell you the last time somebody paid attention to the Midwest division winner. Or this, you know, the Northwest or the Southeast. Like, nobody even knows the names of the divisions in the NBA. They're that insignificant at this point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I just don't think the NFL wants to go down that road. But we'll see. We'll see.
So, Jason, the other thing we're paying attention to are these visits that the Green Bay Packers have where they bring players in. And the guys were talking this morning about how it is almost a certainty if they are brought in for a visit, the Packers are interested in them and may, you know, there's a good chance they will end up on the roster. I said, you got to throw in a red herring every once in a while, right? Otherwise, aren't you just telling on yourself? What is the thought process, you think, for the Green Bay Packers with bringing these guys in for these visits?
Well, they get, what, 30 of them, right?
Correct.
I would argue that it sure seems to me that about 25 of them are for toward the end of the draft, day three guys, because so often they end up drafting guys in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, and one of the first things they say on our conference call with them is that they came to Green Bay on a visit and that they, you know, the coaches put them on the board, and they went through the process with Matt LaFleur or with Jeff Hafley or whoever it might be. So I do think that that's true. The question is always, what about the ones that are first-round picks? And a lot of times, the guys over the years, certainly there have been some guys that have been drafted, but then there's other instances like Jaire Alexander, who had no contact with the Packers at all and was very surprised when they drafted him. So it's both ends of the spectrum, but a lot of times the guys that come in that are high picks that come for visits, it's a medical thing, and the team wants to get the team doctors want to take a look at that player more closely for whatever reason, whether it's because they're interested and they have concerns about the injury or what have you. So I'd have to go back in my archives to look at what the track record is for them in terms of drafting first-round picks who came in for a visit. I do know that during COVID, they did use one of their allotted Zoom visit, since no one was doing anything in person, on Jordan Love, and that to me was a big tell that they were, and I remember talking about it at the time, You don't use one of those when they're virtual on a guy you have no interest in. And so that when they drafted him, or when they went on the clock after they traded up and Ayuk had gone to pick before, I just remember sitting, I guess I was at home, of course, thinking, they're going to pick the quarterback. They really are. They're going to pick the quarterback. And lo and behold, they did.
Jason, just so you know, in the last 3 years, the highest picks they have used visits on, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper.
Yeah, there you go. So there are some, those are some big time visits, right? And you would think that those make sense. The Christian Watson one is interesting though, because if you remember in that one, the Vikings held the 32nd pick and the 34th pick. And this becomes germane now with his injury, by the way. Because I don't know what they would have done had they faced this decision. But they tried to trade with the Vikings to get number 32. And the Vikings said, no, we're not doing that. And had they gotten that deal done, they would have had three first-round picks in that draft, right? It would have been Quay Walker, mm-hmm. Devontae Wyatt, and Christian Watson. And now, with him coming going into the season with the ACL, they would have a fifth-year option decision to make on him right now. Which would be really, really interesting. Now, it turned out, obviously, the Vikings had 34. That's the trade they made. That's where they got him. I'm always going to be curious to see how his career plays out, because if he turns out to be a Vikings killer, they'll have to face the reality that they helped the Packers get him. Just like Brian Branch, the Packers helped the Lions get with a trade in the second round. I think that that's really interesting that they brought him in for a visit. The Cooper one, you kind of knew that they loved him already. There were also some other question marks about him. There were some concerns about, so I'm sure they wanted to get him on the board to go through their defense to see how he reacted to it. So those are pretty high picks. There's no doubt about it. But I would be curious to know how that compares to how many sixth and seventh rounders they took with those visits.
Jason, in regard to the fifth-year option, I think, Gabe, what did you say? There were two teams that only exercised that out of 32 this year?
Yeah, but they do still have over a month. They've got till May 1st to exercise
those. So the number is low, Jason. Wasn't this designed to benefit the franchises and not the players? And did it blow up in their face? Because it doesn't really seem to be working.
Well, I'll tell you that the one situation that the Packers are facing is that for some reason, and Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong, the linebacker number includes edge rushers that play in 3-4 systems.
Yep, correct.
So that's a problem, because that puts the Quay Walker number much higher than the Packers want it to be, right? Even though they're convinced that he's, you know, kind of turned the corner, there have been conversations about the idea of, do we extend him multiple years so we don't have to be on the hook for that one big number for 2025 or 2026, I guess I should say. And I don't know what they're going to do there. But the way Goody talked about both those guys, it is clear that he wants both of them, and that would imply that they're going to give him the fifth-year option. But again, I would think that in Walker's case, they would want to try and spread that charge out, because that's a lot of money to give to a guy who, I thought he was playing his best football before he got hurt in Seattle, but I still wouldn't want to commit that number to him for 2026. And if you want him to be on your team for a long time, you might as well lock him up and reduce the year-over-year cost for him, as opposed to that guaranteed fifth-year option number.
Jason, good stuff today. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Enjoy the game, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde, always on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, each and every day here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Is Tausch on vacation still? Do you know who's hanging? Is it you?
It is not me. I know. That's all I know. It is not me.
Sometimes you'll be like, well, I got to do Wilde and Tausch. I'll be like, what?
It's not me either.
Yes. That's all I can tell.
That was a given. You're out at
how long would you laugh, Chew, if they asked you to do Wildy and Tausch?
Hey, I did
show
it one time.
Yeah, I know hours. You did, and I know you're never doing it again.
No, because I get sick of sports, and I just want to talk about world things. You know what I mean? And I guess the people don't really like that when they're on a sports show. So.
I get sick of sports.
He does. He really does.
All right, we'll take a break here on Jen Gibbons. We still have a lot of stuff to get to. I want to get to these rule changes. We talked a little bit about it with Jason Wilde. The Lions submitted some. The Eagles submitted some. Obviously, everybody knows about the Packers. I got to tell you, I'm thrilled that all these other ones have come to light because I am so sick of talking about the tush push and whether or not the league should ban it. So we'll get into that right after this on Jen Gibbons.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, it's the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. It's what you should do too. It's what everybody should do. Now, maybe you don't have an idea of what you want that ring to look like. You kind of do. Just go to our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. And the helpful team at the Jewelry Center, to me, that's what really makes the Jewelry Center sing, is that helpful team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together. They're always going to point you in the right direction, whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for. When it comes to that engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online at shoptjc.com. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.